Welcome to the 371st episode of Travel Itch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg. My host, co-host Keita Roberts is off tonight, and we know that you can't travel yet, but also know that things will change, hopefully sooner than later. In the meantime, we're continuing this weekly show so that a half hour of armchair travel will take you back to the good old days and help you understand that they'll come back soon. Tonight, our guest is Andrew White of Travel Jar. Welcome to Travel Itch Radio, Andrew.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for having me.
And thank you for getting up in the middle of the night in England. I appreciate that. And since since Travel Jar is a relative newcomer to the travel world, would you explain exactly what it is and what it does?
Okay, yeah. Travel Jar is, as you said, new. Our job is to, I suppose, really create the perfect travel for you. We talk about a jar of wonders, a travel jar. And, you know, you pull out your place, your dream, and our job is to create that the best way we can while thinking about various aspects to make that holiday perfect for you.
Okay, when was it founded and how did it get started?
Okay, so we founded just about 2 years ago, a kind of random joining of my wife, Libby, who's from Seattle, over there in Washington, myself, England, just outside London, and another gentleman called Jacques, who was based in South Africa. Somehow we all got talking in a bar in London, and we all had a similar passion to want to travel and start something new and exciting in the travel world.
Well, Libby is an architect from Seattle, and you're a teacher from the United Kingdom. How and where did you meet? Did you meet at that bar? Did you meet on a trip somewhere?
Yeah, well, so for myself and Libby, we actually met on the banks of a river in Zambia. I was out doing conservation work, which I've been doing for many years. She was out with an architecture charity and had been building homes for people in various remote communities. She was taking a break, so we were both on safari, and that's where we met. And 2 years to the day of us meeting, we actually married. And Jacques, we met in London. He was over playing cricket. He was a professional cricketer for South Africa for 10 years.
Wow. Okay, so who is the president, vice president, secretary, or whatever your titles are? Who is who?
Who's who? So Jacques and Libby go down as co-founders. Jacques sort of deals with the living in Africa, living in South Africa. He deals with on-the-ground operations for most of our trips. Libby uses her design background and is the sort of creative mind behind it. And then my job, because of teaching and education, I've worked a lot on projects in Africa, is to be our director to ensure we live up to our mantra of making sure the communities and the environment and the conservation are thought about in all of our trips.
According to your website, Travel Jar claims to offer travel with a purpose, emphasizing conservation, community, and environment. Could you explain how that troika works?
Yeah, of course. So the basic thing is, let's say you wanted a trip, let's say Zambia, we've mentioned that already, where me and Liv met. What our job is to do when we're creating that maybe 10-day, two-week itinerary for you is to make sure that the places we send you to are ones that have conservation in their minds. They're supporting the properties we're sending to you. They're supporting the conservation of the land and the parks around them. They're caring for their communities, so they're employing local people, they're engaging with their communities. A lot of the places we send people to are quite remote and often from less developed countries, so that empowerment is really important. And obviously the environment is another thing. So we're looking at, does the place offer solar power, no plastic, things are recycled, etc. So we're trying to make it as a positive contribution to the world as possible through your travel experience, as well as having that beautiful luxury holiday that we want.
Okay, we're talking with Andrew White of TravelJar. You offer photography tours, family adventures, and tours that offer conservation. Do those trips come with existing itineraries, or do you plan individual itineraries?
Great question. So every itinerary we do is individual to our client, but we do have sort of that blueprint, as it were, of an existing idea. So if you flip through our website, you would find ideas of what would be the perfect trip to Tanzania, what would be the perfect place to visit in India or wherever we're offering them through our brochure and things like that. You'll see ideas like the perfect 10 days or the perfect 7 days. And that's a great starting point for people. And then we can then listen to you, what you want, and make that work. Are you a family? Are you someone who loves taking photographs? Do you really want to get involved in the conservation and community and environmental projects going on? And we have that ability to get that as part of your trip. So it's really exciting process. So some ideas are on there, existing itineraries, but everything is custom built for your needs as our client.
You claim that a TravelJar itinerary is like no other, with unique finds and off the beaten track itineraries. So what's inside Libby's little black book of trip planning?
Well, with Libby, I think there's a few things she looks at, and I know your normal co-host loves food and drink and things, and I think she might have chatted for a long time with Libby. So we look for all sorts of things, special extras that we can find, restaurants, places to eat, drink. I'm really into finding that national park to visit, which is not normally on people's radar. I was doing a talk earlier today about the Kafue National Park on Instagram Live with a couple of guys that I know. And, you know, if you turn to your normal, I suppose, bulk standard travel destination package, they wouldn't mention Kafue or the Basanga Plains maybe, or off to the Lua Plains. So we try and look for something a little bit different. If you said to me you wanted to see a gorilla, I think my first choice would be the Congo, which wouldn't come up in many places, but an incredible country to visit. And you can do some amazing stuff being a tourist there. So, yeah, lots of little ones that we try to find based on our experiences of traveling.
The TravelJar website, Andrew, contains a list of more than a dozen countries that you feature. Canada is the only one in North America, and most of them are in Africa. How did you make your selections?
It's based on travel experience. We believe that we don't want to send a client to a place that one of us three, or we've got a couple of other people that help us, an amazing wildlife photographer called Niels Wolmerans, for example. We don't want to send people to places that we don't really know personally. Now, I suppose the United States is obviously a place that Libby knows really well. And, you know, places like Yellowstone are just incredible and the Tetons. But I don't think we would say we have enough experience as a traveler to those places. The same for the UK. I've lived here for a long time, but I wouldn't say I'd know it as a traveler. So we've chosen places that we've traveled to that we've experienced firsthand. So Africa is the main place, but Canada, we love going up there into the Pacific Northwest and exploring the Great Bear Rainforest. And we also love India. But more places will be added as we go through time. So I think Yellowstone could make it on the list. I love it.
You're obviously very concerned with protecting the environment, the wilderness, and the wildlife of the world. Is that the reason most of your travel destinations happen to be in Africa?
I think that's a really good place. I think it is one of those great wilderness places. And for me, there's something very special about Africa. It's a place that it touches my heart, it touches my soul. I got lost there when I was a very young person, 8 years old, my first visit to the continent. And then after I finished my university, I was back there and have been every year for the last 20 years for at least 3 or 4 weeks a year. There's something very special about the continent, and the wildlife is incredible. It's iconic. there's something very special of having a lion next to you, roaring as the sun sets, or, you know, walking with elephants and zebras and things in a, on a walking safari. It's quite unique, and the wildlife needs protecting there. It suffers on many different levels, and tourism is one of the biggest factors that helps protect that, and stops poaching and lots of other things, which I'm sure you probably touched on before in other episodes. But without tourists, this part of the world would really struggle, and it is struggling at the moment, not having the support you'd normally get from tourism. But I speak to the people on the ground almost every day, and they're doing well. And that's something that is also you'll find about Africa. The people are just incredible. There's nothing better than the people. I took from Bozeman, Montana last summer out to Zambia and South Africa and Botswana. We had an incredible 2.5 week trip together. And one of the things she said to me is, like, I just can't believe how smiley and happy these people are, and friendly, and they're just the best. You get the best of everything in Africa.
Does Travel Jar have age limits on his trips? And also, how about physical limits? How strenuous are your tours through undeveloped areas?
We don't have an age limit. I don't think there should be an age limit on travel. You're never too young and you're never too old to do that. I'd say probably the majority of our clients are a little bit older in years, but we also have families, and we have a whole range from kids to grandparents going on those trips. As for physical limits, safarying on a general basis is quite an easy experience to do. If you can get up early in the morning, then you're okay. Your sort of typical day will start around 5:30 in the morning, as that sun starts to rise. And you're normally woken with a nice warm drink, and then you'll head out into the bush on an open back 4x4, and you're looking to capture what's been happening through the night. And then around about 8 o'clock, we'll try and find a nice place for you to have breakfast in the bush, which is fantastic. And you've got giraffes walking past you and so on. And then around about 10:30, 11, you return to your lodge, and then you've got real time to relax, eat some nice food. The views and locations of these places are just stunning. And then after afternoon tea, you'll head out at sort of 4 o'clock again till about 8, as it moves from daylight to nighttime in search of more wildlife. So it's quite a sort of relaxing way to go about it. We can add some physical challenges. You can walk your safaris, which brings a whole new concept. You can canoe, or you can trek up into the mountains if you were looking for things like gorillas and that. But we can get anyone there. There is no limits. We can find a way, and you'll soon find that if you travel to Africa, there's always a way in Africa to make something happen. So definitely don't yourself off. Just let us know what your group's like and how you feel, and we'll make that plan for you.
We're talking with Andrew White of Travel Jar. Andrew, we understand that the lodges, inns, and hotels Travel Jar uses are specially selected because they too are dedicated to conservation, community engagement, and environmental enhancement. Can you give us an example or two?
Yeah, for sure. I think it all depends on where you're going, on what their focus are. I think one of the great ones I would talk about is a group called Shenton Safaris. They've got two lodges on the banks of the Luangwa River in Zambia. One is called Kayengu, the other one is called Mwamba. And the things that I really love about them, the first thing is that conservation section. So they support a variety of conservation programs that are happening in South Luangwa, Zambian Carnivore Program, for example, who go out and track and monitor the predators in the area and checking that they're okay, and run anti-poaching patrols. And they're also involved in community engagement. Everything is sourced locally. They run a local farm just outside the park. They work with something called Project Luangwa and Conservation South Luangwa, which again have education programs. And they're really, really great places to stay. And beautiful luxury as well. Some of the best food I've tasted in Africa. Another great example of a place to stay. I think if we've moved continents and we went to India, there's a beautiful set of four properties by a company called Sujan Luxury that we work with. And they're dedicated to tiger conservation. But on top of that, they work really extensively with their community. They've provided schools. They have a mobile health clinic that serves about 2,000 people. So what's brilliant is we know and can definitely commit to you that when you're spending your dollars, that this money is going to help these as well as you having a great time. And that's really important for us, that these things are going on.
Has Traveldar limited the group size on its trips, especially now that the world is enduring a worldwide pandemic that requires social distancing?
Well, I think probably if for those who haven't experienced the safari world, or those who have, will know that it's probably the best place to social distance. We're talking really remote locations. Many of them, it's a small little plane, or you come in by boat. I think probably one of the best examples close to home, which might be an early one that opens up for you, is the Great Bear Rainforest in Canada. Take a float plane up the up from Vancouver and Port Hardy, and you land in a small inlet, and there's no one else around. There's not another civilization that we would call probably for a good hour of flying. And then you're in a small group, small chalets, again, completely remote. And what you'll find when you go out on a safari, whether it's the boat or whether it's the vehicle, then it will just be you and maybe your partner or your family with you. So again, you're in that little bubble and you can stay in that bubble. So I think from a social distancing point of view, a safari will be one of those great things. You're not going to find a trip where there's lots of people, hundreds, thousands of people on the beach with us. It's all about remoteness. So I definitely think it's a great place. I was talking with Sabi Sands, one of their directors, a few weeks ago. And, you know, they're saying that, you know, they're all ready to go, the lodges. They've been checking everything. And as they said, it's, you know, it can just be you and your family and no one else where you're staying. So it's a great place, and we hope that, you know, the world opens up safely soon.
But with fewer people traveling, how has the current health crisis impacted Traveldar?
Well, I suppose in a nutshell, we're not taking bookings at the moment. That's not because we don't want to and can't. What we want to do is talk to our clients, plan something, have it there ready to go when we feel it's safe and time to travel again. So we're working with a few clients that looking at ideas. I was chatting to a lovely lady from California earlier today, and her and her partner are really interested, and I'm putting together some ideas for them. But we don't think it's right to book yet, because we don't know what's going to happen. Those clients who should have been traveling, we should have a couple who should be traveling right now as we speak. We've just worked with our lodges and suppliers to make sure everything's perfect for exactly this time next year. And that's generally what we're doing at the moment, just moving people. The industry, the lodges have been brilliant. They've just said, let's just move everything exactly 365 days or slightly different if people need it. And we can make a plan from there. So, you know, everyone's pulling together and everyone's waiting to get us kickstarted again. So has it had an impact? Yes, we're not taking any new bookings, but, you know, by being small, we're not worried, as it were, about overheads and things like that. And that's the advantage of a small bespoke service rather than maybe a big company that has lots of moving parts to deal with.
You have several key partners, including the David Shepherd Wildlife Foundation, and also some corporate partners. How do these partners work with Traveldar?
Excellent. Yeah, great question. So we put together some key partners. The David Shepherd Wildlife Foundation, I've known for over 10 years now. They're a wonderful family. The Shepherd family is now run by David's granddaughter, Peanut Lamb. And along with them, Rhino 911, Game Rangers International, and so on, what we've done is we wanted to work with NGOs and charities that are doing great work. So what we do is we look ways of every trip of how we can support these guys through the travel, how we can go behind the scenes and show people what's going on. And we have specials, for example, if you quote David Shepherd Wildlife Foundation on one of your trips, we make sure that we guarantee a certain proportion of your trip will go to that work that they are doing. So it's great to have those. And then we try and associate ourselves with other great brands that are thinking about the world. A new one that we're chatting to at the moment is a company called Origin Africa, which is all about sustainable clothing and sourcing clothing correctly, making sure that the people at the source of it are being paid correctly. And they're doing some incredible project work. So, yeah, it's about getting great brands that are thinking alike and not necessarily just in it for the profit, but are thinking about what good they can do.
And you're listening to Travel Itch Radio with Dan Schlossberg. Keita Roberts is off tonight. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the archive show on Facebook. And our guest is Andrew White of Travel Jar. Andrew, an award-winning photographer named Nellis Walmerance leads many of your tours. Do his gorilla treks and safaris make him an expert on all of Africa? And what other guides work with Travel Jar, and how do you select them?
Yeah, Neil is one of the most wonderful people you'll ever meet, and I hope you get the chance to travel with him at some point, Dan. He's such a gentle giant. He's a big guy from South Africa. He's been working in the safari industry for over 20 years, and he's traveled all over the place. A lot of work in Botswana, Tanzania, Zambia, and South Africa, as well as his specialist, which is gorillas. There isn't a finer gorilla photographer in the world, if you ask me. And he combines that with his gentle and really caring personality. To be on safari with him is a true pleasure, and I've had that privilege, and we talk and do talks for Condé Nast and all sorts of groups around the world. He's also been to Canada, and India is also on his list. So he's an expert in traveling. And he's traveled a lot of Africa, and he's always on safari, except for obviously at the moment, which I know he's getting big itchy feet when I talk to him. Other guides we use is we look at the area and what they know. Two others come to mind, a gentleman called Shane, a real expert in the lower Zambezi, in Zambia and also Zimbabwe, and just another kind of and quiet, unassuming gentleman who's brilliant. Another guy, which I know is Vic, who's full of personality, and he's the perfect one for a family trip. So what we, you know, by knowing our guides, by knowing the people that are working in the bush, we feel that we can get the right one for you. And it's matching those personalities, because they're going to be with you every day during your trip, looking after you. And us understanding you allows us then to pass on the right guide. So, or I guide as well. I shouldn't ever forget that I do guiding as well. And if people want that, then they can have that as well. So it's all on what the client wants.
Okay, less than 5 minutes to go. When I hear of travel to Africa, I think about four things: remote, exotic, unexplored, but also uncertain, with concerns about safety, language, food, money, and transportation. How has Travel Jar circumvented those possible problems?
Awesome question. Yeah, definitely remote. We're getting out there. It is exotic. It's luxurious. They know how to look after you. And you definitely can get some unexplored areas when you get right off the beaten track. I think the uncertainty is also a question a lot of people ask, and I often say that probably the most dangerous thing you'll do is drive from your home, maybe around the M25 in London or certain freeways in America, to the airport. It's probably the most dangerous thing that you'll do. The people are so warm and friendly. Countries, I mean, Zambia in I think it's 2018 or 2017 was voted the safest country to visit as a tourist in the world. Language is a fascinating thing. There are lots and lots of local dialects, but English is really well spoken in all our places. The food is incredible. My wife, for example, is gluten-free, and she's never had a problem. They cook a lot of their food. Well, virtually all their food is cooked fresh from the local area. So if you're on the coast, you're looking at seafood and loads of great fruit and veg that you're going to get there. Money, dollars is the currency in Africa. I think you can use that virtually everywhere you go. So there isn't a problem there. And again, transportation. You're moving around in small planes, which these safari sort of airlines that you use, the local airlines, they're brilliant, these little planes that move you around. Or if you're adventurous and want to go on local transport, that can be great fun as well and something we can arrange. So it's definitely something that people think about and want to ask, but, you know, we look at the best way to do it. And, you know, safety obviously is so important for everyone.
Okay, Andrew, Travel Jar Literature says it creates bespoke expeditions and experiences. To our American listening audience, what does that mean?
In a nutshell, bespoke means it's individual. So it's tailored for you. What do you want? What is your dream? If you emailed me today or sent me a message on Instagram, you know, my first questions are things like, you know, what is your safari dream? What is your travel dream? What is your favorite animal? Do you want to see a waterfall? Those sort of things. Because if you turned to me and said you wanted to see a leopard, the place I would suggest to you might be very different to if you told me you wanted to see elephants. And, you know, if elephants are your big thing, then, you know, we're heading to Botswana. If it's big cats, we're heading to East Africa and things like that. If it's real remoteness, we're heading to Namibia and the deserts and the Kalahari in South Africa. So it's bespoke is all about you and what you want, and then we'll create that dream for you.
That sounds great. How do Travel Radio listeners learn more about Travel Jar?
I think the best thing to do is probably to head to Instagram. Two key areas. Our one is Travel Jar. On Instagram, or head to me. I'm Andrew Silent Wildlife on Instagram, and we can chat and connect there, or over to our website www.travel-jar.com. Are the best places. You can also get hold of Libby. She's law_adventure for Libby Ann White. Not that she's in the law or anything like that. And yeah, just connect with us, and we'll chat all day.
That's great to know. Our guest tonight has been Andrew White of Travel Jar. Thank you for joining Travel Itch Radio. Real quick close here. As a father myself, I'm well aware Father's Day is 3 days away, and there's no better gift than my book, The New Baseball Bible, an unorthodox illustrated history that's not only the most unusual baseball book ever published, but costs less than a sawbuck. Such a deal. Order now from Amazon.com, and you can still have it by Sunday. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writer, and same broadcasters, we'll be talking with Dr. Matthew Naylor, president and CEO of the World War I Museum in Kansas City. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg speaking also from my beautiful and talented co-host, Keita Roberts, who's off tonight, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.